I'm an Attico Kathy. Before I begin, I have a statement I have to read. Speaker statement. The NA member chosen to speak in a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there is a possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps to fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking in an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell obsessively on our active addiction or war stories, because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. Okay, well, I'm not good at this stuff, though. I was thinking about this when I was asked to speak, and I want to thank the program committee of CPRC for giving me the privilege of being here today, and to the NA Fellowship for giving me the life that I have today. And that is a direct result of these traditions and steps. The one thing that jumped out at me every time I heard the traditions from the time I was asked to speak on these was the very last line in the 12 traditions in our basic text, which says, "Our traditions protect us from the internal and external forces that could destroy us. They are truly the ties that bind us together, and it is only through understanding and application that they work." Okay, now when I think of the seventh tradition, I used to think it was the basket that you passed around, because that's what my only understanding was when I got here. But it got a little deeper than that the longer I came around. I saw people coming before the meeting. My very first home group in Northeast Philadelphia on Friday nights, we sat there in our business meeting group conscience thing. And the service commitment I had was cleaning up the cigarette butts out of the parking lot, because we were asked to do that. And part of self-support is being responsible. And that was all I felt good enough to do anyway. So, to me, cleaning up the cigarette butts was a big deal. I was like, oh, you think I'm good enough to do that? And I was cool with that. You know, in fact, of all the service commitments I ever had, that was my favorite. And it sounds hysterical, but, man, I made coffee one night. I doubled the coffee and half the water. And, I had a bunch of experienced addicts go, man, I lost my clean time because of your damn coffee. What's wrong with you? And I was like, And I had an attitude, and I was very angry for a long time, and I'm like, look, you can take your coffee and shove it, and I had my sponsor, she was loving, but she grabbed my arm, ran me outside, said, you can't do that. That's not a good thing. And what that has to do with the seventh tradition is we are self-supporting through our own contributions. It's not always about money. It's about getting to the meeting early and helping to set up the chairs and make the coffee. And it's about, doing what we need to do so a meeting continues. Because traditions are, there are principles in this, in all of our traditions that we can use in our personal life. But I learned most about traditions from groups sitting in meetings saying, what can we do to help the still suffering addict? Do we have enough money for rent? Do we have enough money for coffee? Do we have enough money to have an anniversary thing? And that's the stuff, that I learned. And that's the stuff I still see here. And to me, self-support is we open the door so that people can find a hope and they don't have to live like they do, like we did when we first got here. And, it's just it spills in your personal life. I'm laid off from my job right now, and I was up in merchandising last night, and I wanted a gold NA Unity symbol, and I heard click in the back of my head, you don't have that kind of money right now. That's not very responsible. And we paid for, my husband and I, because I'm married, we paid for this, convention before I got laid off, so we had the financial means to get here. And it's like, it's about being responsible for the people in your life, your family, your friends, your sponsees and your sponsors, your sponsor. And, I'm not even going to pretend that I'm going to share the whole time. I'm not going to spend 30 minutes on this because I don't believe in being a false person today. You know, to me, the eighth tradition, it talks about...
No, I have that for a minute. No, not that.
And I'm not going to run back and forth with the literature either, but I'm not going to pretend that I know what the eighth tradition is unless I take a quick look. We should remain forever non-professional except but our service centers may employ special workers. Well, to me, that just means that, we're here to help the still suffering addict. I've seen that in meetings. We have no big little I's or little U's, and we're all the same. It's all about a we. I've seen that in meetings too. If you happen to be a lawyer or a doctor and all that, that doesn't come into play when you come into a meeting. Because I was in when I first came around, there were a lot of people that I knew because my recovery started in Northeast Philadelphia. And it was very hardcore. You couldn't say none of that other stuff. You said, and there's something else. They took you outside and they told you, shut the hell up. And that kind of woo. But, then there were, people that I came into recovery with that also worked in therapeutic communities. And I said, oh, and they really know. Because they're... And I said that one night. And somebody who really loved me and who's my sponsor today said, that has absolutely nothing to do. Read your eighth tradition. And I was like, yeah, whatever. Mm. She said, no, not whatever. Read your eighth tradition. So, I did, and I learned that, we don't do our own surgeries in life. If we have something wrong with us, we have a bum leg or a foot, or we don't see too well, we don't make our own glasses. So we go someplace that somebody who knows what they're doing does it. And it's the same thing with, we're not lawyers, doctors, financial advisors, none of that other stuff. We're just addicts. But I'm from the Philadelphia region, and we have a regional office where people sell the literature there. That's one less thing we have to worry about, so our primary purpose is to fulfill, which is to carry a message. And I'm grateful for that because if we're too busy doing other stuff, we don't have the time to be there for the addicts who still suffer and who need help. And when I think, and that's just I was saying it in personal life, it spills out to that too. When I think about Tradition 9, we're not organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. I've served on many levels of service since I've been around. I've been on area levels. I've served in subcommittees. And it's kind of an eye-opening thing. It's a humbling thing because I told you about the ash, picking up the ashes out of the off the parking lot. Hell, that was my favorite thing. My favorite service commitment was being part of the meeting list. And people were like, "That's the most boring thing in the world." I said, "Not to me, because you don't have a meeting list. You don't know where to go for recovery. We got people coming in and they're hurting, and there needs to be some place that they get a hug and a cup of coffee that I don't make. Okay, no." and you just, and so you're just there for the still suffering addict. And when you have, you have people on meeting lists. I've had the privilege of speaking in a prison and a locked adolescent psych ward. And that was all due to H&I. And that's kind of it's a great thing because it's people that are in, all we see, and I'm saying us because we're all pretty much the same. We might not have taken the path of jail or a psych ward, but we were still imprisoned when we were in our addiction, right? And I said, when I went and spoke at, I was like, I never went to jail. I didn't do that. My friend's like, "Now, did you ever do anything that could have gotten you in jail? Had you gotten caught?" And I'm like, I don't have any comment on that. And they're like, "Yeah, you do." So that would be a yes. And I said, "Yeah, that would be a yes." So I'm telling you, it's like you get so much gratitude from doing service work. You know, from speaking at prisons. And you know, it's like some people, not everybody's a good speaker, but some people make great coffee. And some people know, you know, some people can set up real well, put up chairs or whatever. But, you know, I've also served on regional boards. And that was kind of good, too, because that way the groups just fulfill the primary purpose of carrying the message. That way we, you know, we used to sit on Sunday afternoons. It would start at 12, maybe, if we were lucky, or 10. And if we were lucky, we got out at 5. If we weren't lucky, it was 6 o'clock. But we spent all day saying, look, what can, you know, I was in the Philadelphia region, so there was like about, I would say 8 or 10 areas, something like that. And, you know, it was just a good thing because, you know, I had a sponsor who I like kicked to the curb because he said to me, well, Kathy, you know, you just got to do more for your meeting list thing. And I turned around and I said, why don't you get your fat ass off the couch and show up? And they're like, that's not real nice. No, that's not my job. That's your job to do that. And I'm like, well, it was humbling to hear that. And at the time, I wasn't cool with that because I was angry for a long time. And I got into service work just because I didn't want to hurt anymore and I felt a little better afterward. But there's also public information. You know, I used to take the bus a lot until I got my driver's license, which was this year finally. And... I used to see a guy, and he looked like he was a really bad sheep. Or you feel hurt, and do you do drugs? You're not alone. And our hotline number for the Philadelphia region is 215-NA-WORKS. And I came down yesterday and saw the public information table. I said, "Oh, that's cool." I said, "I saw that. I saw that picture on the Mark of Frankfurt L." And they're like. And I said the phone number, and the girl turned around, and she said, "You're from Philly." I was like, "How do you know that?" Pretty obvious, NA Works, 215. And I was like, but we got people that sit and take their time and come up with this stuff and go to the schools and go to the libraries and go to community events and say, look, you don't have to be in pain. You don't have to use anymore. Come here. But it's not a promotion thing. We're just giving you information. And just like in, you know, in personal life, I used to serve in different, you know, I was a union rep for many years. And, you know, there were people who knew more than I did who would help me out. And just like, you know, government and, you know, different things. But we're not experts. We don't know everything. We don't have the time to know all that stuff. That's why we have service boards or committees. That's why we have special workers to do that. And, you know, truthfully, I can't think of another darn thing to say. And I'm not going to stand up here and make stuff up. But, you know, those are the ties that bind us together. Those are the things that, you know, steps are for us, traditions are for groups, and concepts, although this is not a concept meeting, is for the service structure. You know, it's made that way for a reason. You know, we don't have time to do all the stuff I just talked about. But we have service reports or committees that do that. We have special workers that work in our regional offices and, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, it is about the, you know, separate tradition is about the basket. But it's also about doing what we need to do to be responsible today. So I'm grateful to be here. I'm still an addict called Kathy. Thank you for allowing me to share.
For my next speaker, we have Wendell.
Speaker. Statement. Any member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living in the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions in areas when there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions. There is the possibility that group inexperience in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on an active addiction or war stories, because we all know what it's like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. I'm an addict. My name is Wendell. And I'm clean by God's grace in the program of Narcotics Anonymous, and I got a lot of nervous energy in me right now. I want to thank the convention committee for extending an invitation to an addict like myself to come and share his experience, strength, and hope on the 7th, 8th, and 9th tradition. I want to thank Kathy for doing a wonderful job. I want to thank those that have traveled long distances. I say long distances to help fulfill the group's primary purpose. The group's primary purpose. I got here yesterday, and every meeting that I've attended so far, one reoccurring theme that has been sticking out for this addict is that sometimes this podium can be a trap. So I need to tell myself the reason why I'm here is to help fulfill the group's primary purpose. See, I want to get it confused. I don't want to get it twisted. And I want to keep my ego in check. 7, 8, and 9. Now, I'm not real sure like how this thing is going to go. You know, I might go 9, 8, 7. I might go 8, 7, 9. I don't know. I know that, like, I'm real, real grateful. You know, we was eating breakfast this morning, and I was sharing with a, you know, recovering addict that, like, I thank God that, like, I arrived in Narcotics Anonymous at the time that I got here. I'm glad that the addicts that were here before I got here kept the doors open for an addict like myself. Because at the time when I came to Narcotics Anonymous, I was taught right away about doing the right thing for the right reason, because it's the right thing to do. I'm talking about the seventh tradition being fully self-supporting. The reason why I was able to even attend this convention this weekend speaks volumes about the fact that this addict, check this out, is fully self-supporting today. To some degree. See, everything that we learn, everything that I've learned in this process is that, like, today, my reality might not be the same tomorrow. See, I came in here a leech. A parasite. I'm talking about a bloodsucker. A leech is something that lives, that survives off of the life of something else. I had no idea what self-supporting was. Everything and everybody in my life supported me. I was sustained by those that I surrounded myself with. So when I came to Narcotics Anonymous, and y'all told me that like I had to practice a new way of life, that like I had to be accountable. Yeah, that's what she said. I had to become responsible. I was lost. And it wasn't until, like in the literature says, it usually isn't until we get involved with service that someone points out that my personal recovery depends on NA unity. Right? So that, like, if I'm going to grow, if I'm going to become responsible, then I need to get into the we of the program. I'm so grateful. We talked about H and I, subcommittees. I'm a product of an institution. I got clean in an institution. H and I committee. Recovering members that had a desire to carry the message to those that couldn't get to an outside meeting. See, the seventh tradition is talking about like our meetings and the purpose. What is our ultimate goal? To keep the doors open, to carry the message. The traditions are real simple. Everything that we do in service work is about carrying the message. That's across the board. How a meeting gets started. What is a meeting? Where addicts get together to help carry the message. Some of the things that the seventh tradition talks about, like what do our groups need? They need a message. We got that in these committed members. It needs members to show up regularly. Support the group. Practice something different, something that I wasn't able to do when I got here. I didn't know nothing about showing up on time. When I got here, I heard somebody say, make 90 meetings in 90 days. It'll do one of two things. It'll break a bad habit or it'll create a good habit. So I practiced that. And in developing a new attitude, a new outlook, I started to see how, like, I really was being sustained by Narcotics Anonymous. That, like, I could not recover by myself. And, like, had it not been for members keeping the doors open when I got here, I had no idea, like, where I would be at. I mean, we was talking, you know, this morning, like, the life that I'm living today, man, is a direct result of Narcotics Anonymous. Like, I'm living life to the fullest today. And some days, man, like, I'm real amazed, man, that, like, that God plucked me out of the condition that I was in. I'm talking about a hopeless dilemma. And when I came to the meeting and I heard the message, see, it's all about the message, man. That, like, no matter what, I don't have to use. So, like, I continue to come. I got a home group. And the reason why it was pointed out to me that, like, a home group was important was because that would be the beginning of my support group, my support network. Show up regularly, get a home group, be committed to the home group. I had to find a group that fit my schedule and that I was going to be willing to make a commitment to. See, the seventh tradition is also about commitment, man. Commitment to this way of life. So when I chose a home group, I showed up regularly. People got to know me. The real me. And what I began to see was that this was a loving and caring fellowship. And that, like, when I didn't show up to the home group, like, for a week, people would call. See, I came up in a time where, man, like, people would reach out. Like, if they didn't see you on a regular basis, they wanted to know where you was at and what you was doing. You know, the sister talked about, like, how, like, you know, and I'm an NA purist. Like, you know, when I came around, if you wasn't, you know, I was taught that Narcotics Anonymous has a language all of itself. And that, like, you don't come in here talking about this, that, and the other. You know, this is Narcotics Anonymous. It's all inclusive. We appreciate, we're grateful for the other fellowship, because without that fellowship, there wouldn't be this fellowship. But we like to stand on our own. And that's one reason why we became fully self-supported. The sixth tradition reminds us, right, that less money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. The seventh tradition ties right into that. That, like, by being self-supporting, we allow ourselves the privilege and the right to carry our own message. The eighth tradition. Run with that. Non-professional. When I come through the doors of Narcotics Anonymous, and it's real, like, simple, and the works have a why, it says it real clear. Like, this is probably the most simple tradition of all. Leave your title at the door. We have no, check this out, no matter what nobody tell you, we have no professional 12-steppers. Listen, here go one, there are no gurus. No one addict has, like, the key to what recovery is all about. And, like, no matter what I might practice, what I might do for a living on the outside of a meeting, once I come to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, I'm just an addict. I need to drop my title, leave my profession at the door, come in, sit down, identify with the fact that, like, I need to be here just like you. But it talks about, like, employing special workers. What are special workers? The lady said it real clear. People that serve the fellowship. Like, this convention. See, Narcotics Anonymous, I'm not sure, like, a whole lot of people, like, I'm going to throw, you know, a few numbers out there. In 1978, there were 200 meetings in three countries. 200 meetings in three countries. As of last year, 25,000 registered meetings. 35,000 meetings being held weekly. 116 countries. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. This thing has become almost like a business. So, like, in conducting the business of Narcotics Anonymous, there comes a point in time where we need help. We need accountants. We need lawyers. We sign contracts. They need to be reviewed. They need to be looked over. There's a lot of money that's generated. A lot of funds. And if you notice, right, check this out. In the seventh tradition, like, it's about money, but it ain't about money. Because in that tradition, we pass the basket to become fully self-supporting. Once the group fulfills its primary purpose, purchase the literature, pay for rent, the money goes to our service centers. Because guess what? In the eighth tradition, they tell us that service centers are not self-supporting. They survive by the support given to them by the groups. So it's each one teach one, each one help one. So, like, when groups do a disservice by taking a lot of money and having elaborate celebrations and being diverted from their primary purpose, guess what? The service structure suffers. We're talking about, like, addicts. When groups fold, members die. Addicts die. I knew you could do it, baby. So, what I found out, man, is that, like, check this out. I need not let money, property, and prestige divert me. And that, like, I need to remember, check this out, through the service structure, thank God for service structure. Thank God for members that are committed to doing the work. But in this tradition, it also talks about, like, we need to be prudent. That's a spiritual principle. In other words, like, we need to be careful, like, in how we spend our money. If we need help, have enough humility, because that's another spiritual principle, knowing when you don't know what you think you know and asking somebody to tell you what you don't know. Right? So what we do, man, we hire people to help us. Because we realize, like the sister said, there's a lot of work that needs to be done, and no one addict can do it by themselves. We were told within the steps that self-sufficiency was a lie. So, in the ninth tradition, there's a couple things that, like, you know, and I thank God for, like, people in this fellowship, man, that I respect, that I love, and that I admire. Because today I'm not ashamed to say that there's some people that's in this process, that's living this program, that I admire. Because I do. And I thank God for the people that have the ability with time, right, to talk about, like, exactly where they at when they there. Not after they done left there, but while you there. Let me know what's going on in the here and now. And so, like, as we was in the meeting last night, and my sponsor and Holly were doing the meeting, and it was a real good meeting. Matter of fact, it was in this room, and that's ironic for me. But anyway, they were talking about as you get older, like, some things, it's a natural process in life. Like, I'm 44 years old. My body is not the same body that I came to Narcotics Anonymous with. Although I may look, you know, appear to be the same individual and I am, in one aspect, like, the reality is that, like, some things don't work like they used to. You know, and one of them is my eyes. The other one is, like, my mind. And like, I'm real clear about the fact that, like, sometimes I need to write things down. You know, me and George were sharing, like, you better be okay with, like, you know, where you at. Realize that, like, you know, you did a lot of drugs. You know, I did a lot of drugs. And, like, some days, man, I have a desire to retain some things, but the reality is, like, I just can't. You know what I'm saying? And I had to, you know, become okay with that. Some self-acceptance in that, like, you know what? It's okay to have to write some things down. It's okay to be able to thank God for the literature. Thank God for being able to refer to the literature and today, like, have some semblance of, like, what's going on. And I share this with, like, the people that I love. Like, just for the day, man, like, I haven't got it, but I got a clue, man. Hear me. I haven't got it, but I got a clue. In other words, like, I got a glimpse. And, like, I'm real grateful, man. And it's only through service, through getting involved, man, like, putting myself through the change. Because I don't know about nobody else, man. Like, it was kind of difficult. Although I was introduced and I was around a lot of people that was, you know, doing this kind of stuff, like, from the door. You know, from the door I came in Narcotics Anonymous, and I was up under the wing of some people that was sharing all over the place, and I was traveling with them, and they was getting me commitments, and, you know, the whole nine yards. But what I found out, man, is that, like, in its simplicity, man, like, what this thing is really all about is, like, just carrying the message. You know, like, I need to get my ego out of the way and realize, man, that, like, all I have to give is what's going on with me. Like, you know, the 12th tradition talks about, like, the only requirement for carrying the message is that I be myself. And that, check this out, we each have a one-of-a-kind personality, right, that is sure to be an attraction to many. And I realize, man, that, like, it's not my job, right? I'm humble enough to realize This is not my job to reach everybody in this room. I don't even attempt that anymore. Because most times, and I'm sure there's a lot of people in here that have the experience that, like, a lot of times when you leave this podium, you don't even really remember what you shared. And what I found out, right, is because I'm so engrossed in the atmosphere, right? And thank God for addicts practicing the principles and the traditions, right? Like, come in, sit down, and practice an atmosphere of recovery. Because what happens if I don't do that? The group suffers. The group suffers, meetings close, addicts die. Now, some people don't want to, you know, look at it on that level, but that's our reality. You know, so back to this this ninth tradition, and I want to thank Kathy for sharing that. Like, you know, the traditions are written so simply, right, that, like, there ain't a whole lot of debate that goes on with these. You know, they say we have no dues, no fees, right? No pledges to sign, no promises to make to anyone. We're not connected, you know what I'm saying, with, like, any religious law enforcement groups and under no surveillance at any time. But the reality is that, like, we under surveillance with each other. That's our reality. Like, we under surveillance with each other. See, because I'm watching and I'm learning all the time because I'm open today, man. Like, through the step process, which led me to the traditions, right? Like, I'm open. And I know that my help is right here. They talk about the group being the most powerful vehicle, right, for carrying the message. But the ultimate weapon is a recovering act. So what that tells me, man, that, like, my ultimate, right, my ultimate weapon against the disease that plagues me on a daily basis is you. And so sometimes, man, like, when I can't talk on the phone, when I can't get it through the step work, there's something about coming to a meeting. You heard what I said? It's something about, like, when I come to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. I have never come to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting feeling bad and left feeling that same way. That's not my experience. My experience is that, like, I come here in search of hope. I come here seeking a solution. We talk about sharing problems is necessary for identification, but sharing solution is necessary for recovery. Service boards or committees. Right? Now, when I got to the ninth tradition, right, and again, thanks for sharing. Like, I had no idea what as such meant. I'm being honest, I didn't know what as such meant. So when I got, thank God for the new literature, and that's one of the things that has developed, check this out, as a direct result of the growth of Narcotics Anonymous, because it all starts with the meeting, right? It all starts with the meeting. And as meetings grow, the need changes. So we need to develop service boards and committees to be responsible to the growth of the fellowship. So as the fellowship grows, our needs change. We need to seek help as these changes evolve. And in doing so, we create service boards and committees. The convention committee. Who do they serve? The fellowship. Why are we here? To celebrate recovery. But as such, I had, like I said, I had no idea what as such meant. So when I went to the It Works How and Why, it says that this is NA as such. A simple fellowship using a non-professional, addict-to-addict approach to the disease of addiction. We are a fellowship, not a lobbying organization, or a medical service, or a chain of treatment facilities. We are non-professional. We have no rules, no fees, no governing bodies, and only one membership requirement, a desire to stop using. Our primary purpose, quite simply, to carry the message. These are some of the traditional standards by which our groups may guide themselves. And our ultimate guiding authority is a higher power as it finds expression in the concept of our members. That's NA as such as we understand it. That's NA as such as we understand it. The simplicity of, check this out, one addict helping another. That's it, across the board. So, to maintain the focus of its recovery meetings, the group usually conducts business meetings separately, keeping NA as such as simple as possible. Some of our meetings, because they are so large, because addicts have personalities, you know, see, this is something else that I didn't have an idea about when I got involved with the service structure of Narcotics Anonymous on a group level, right? That, like, there was a difference between a business meeting and a group conscious meeting. See, a lot of people in here don't even know that. You can raise your hand if you don't know. It's all right. See, I had no idea that, like, the business meeting was for conducting exactly what it says, business pertaining to the group. But the group conscious meeting, there they go, Shakur. There they go. They gave me the little, where the big joint at?
No, you good to go.
I had no idea, right, that like the group conscious meeting was for, check this out, we talked about why we get a home group. The group conscious meeting, not only was it about like things that pertain to how the group was being ran, like was the group sticking with its primary purpose? Like were we being diverted? Like were, you know what I'm saying, what can we do more effectively to carry the message? It was also a time for when like an addict that might have raised their hand in a meeting that didn't get called on. We're talking about the simplistic approach, one addict helping another. See, some people, man, don't have the courage to raise their hand in a meeting. And they could be right in your home group. Be a group member. So when we get our group conscious meeting together, we talk about things about the group. Then we elaborate and we sit down and give group members an opportunity to share and fellowship with one another. See, I didn't even know that until addicts had to, you know what I mean, share that experience with me. But like, in closing, these service boards and committees that we formulate, the reason why, like I said, the reason why it's a necessity is because Narcotics Anonymous has grown. And I'm so grateful that I'm a part of the growth of this fellowship, man. It's beyond my wildest dream, like, you know, being at this convention and seeing how large, like how many addicts are here. You know, and that like, you know, when I'm not fully self-supporting and when I'm trying to slip and slide and don't pay my registration fee, I said when I don't pay my registration fee, see, because when I got here, right, see, it wasn't until I got involved on the convention level and like became a convention chair, vice chair, programming chair, merchandise chair, hotel and hospitality, registration, that I began to realize like it takes a great deal of funds, right, to put on an event like this. And it always jumps back to the seventh tradition, to where like we want to be fully self-supporting. We want to be responsible for carrying our message. We don't want to lean on nobody else for helping us do what we need to be doing for ourselves. And so that, like, when I keep the primary purpose in focus, it allows me and it gives me the opportunity to do my part. See, it's also about, like, doing your fair share. Right? and allowing others to jump in and do their fair share. No one addict or two addicts should be doing all the work. But a lot of times we know that ain't the case. You got 10% of the people doing 90% of the work. And the 90% that ain't doing no work talking about the 10% that's doing work. But that's another meeting for another time. Listen, I'm real grateful to have had my 15 minutes. You know, I want to thank those that have come out to support me. I had a lot of, like, you know what I mean, mixed emotions going on before I got up here. You know, ego, you wanted to jump in. I wanted to really talk about, like, what Holly and Shakur was talking about last night. But what I realized, right, is that, like, that's not really important. Like, I was asked to share on Tradition 7, 8, and 9. And I feel that, you know, God has given me the tools. You people have, you know, shown me and guided me. Because I didn't do it by myself. I realized that, like, my recovery is incumbent upon you people. Everything in recovery is relative. Everything in recovery is relative. Like, if I want to, you know, like, move from one situation to another, then my ability to move from here to there be incumbent upon the effort that I put in to get from here to there. See, it's all about the effort, man. And I realize that, like, as long as I put in the effort, God will see to it that I get my just reward. No longer am I seeking the rewards for your hard labor. I'm not a leech today. I'm fully self-supporting. And as the direct result, what I found out, check this out, is that the more you give, the more you get. So, like, if you find yourself in a condition where, like, you ain't got a lot, listen, my experience is that when I found myself in that condition, right, where I didn't have a lot, it was because I wasn't giving nothing. And what they told me, that, like, the best way to get outside of myself was to give of myself. See, this process is not about thinking less of myself, but thinking of myself less. I'm an addict. My name is Wendell. Thanks for listening.